Gospel for Grampian listeners, it is 31 August, the end of SA Women's Month celebration, and Women of Africa Aircrew had an absolute fun during this month. It was a month of great empowerment. As we close this chapter, Women Arise, it's episode 64. We are going to tap into those revelations that left an indelible mark in our hearts over this month. We have a big surprise for you. In reflecting on these qualities for womanhood, we have the honor of joining us today, author Erica Richards, who is going to share her experiences in her recent published book called Deborah Arise. Ladies, welcome to Women Arise. How are you today, beautiful Shanaz?
Good day to the listeners and good day to our panel. It's so awesome to be with you. I am blessed and highly favored. I think of Nelly's greeting. She always says kingdom's greeting. So my greetings is in the name of Jesus. And welcome, welcome. I'm blessed. Thank you.
Shanaz, are you ready to arise or are you already in the clouds?
I think I'm already in the clouds.
Yay! Hallelujah. You better start lifting others in the cloud, hey? We have got our special guest here today, Erica Richards. She is a friend to Women of Africa Care. She shares our vision and has participated in some of our Friends Talk events in previous events over the years. Erica is an author. She's a wife. She's a mother of four children. You would never say that when you see her. She's just got such an amazing figure. She has a secular profession. She's also a pastor. She's a registered counselor with the SA Council for Counselors, and she functions in the prophetic. She's a prophetic intercessor, the one that we call the watch lady on the wall. When God said, is there anybody that is willing to stand in the gap for the nation of God? Erica said, pick me, Lord, pick me, Lord. Welcome, Erica.
Good evening to all the listeners of Gospel for Grampian. Thank you so much to Angelina and Shanaz to allow me to be on this platform this evening. I just want to say Jesus is King and He is Lord in our lives. And as long as we keep our eyes focused on Him, everything really goes well, even in the midst of the storms. Thank you so much for having me tonight. I am truly blessed and I thank you. In Jesus' name.
Erica is going to give us some beautiful mysteries that are coming forth from her book. You know, Erica and Shanaz, we hear this time and time again. Women, arise. Take your place in society. Esther, rise up and speak for your people. Deborah, rise up and judge fairly without partiality and discrimination. Mary, continue serving your most expensive perfumes. Let the greedy complain. God sees your heart of extravagant serving. Martha, serve without complaining. The king sits at your table. He's worth your meal. Abigail, yes, continue to stand up and serve the king even when your authorities mock the king. There is a reward for honoring God's nation. Hannah, press on, don't give up. The promise will come at the right time. Samuel's time of arrival was necessary for that generation. Hannah, as you wait for your dream to conceive, it will happen. Keep pressing on. Shanaz and beautiful Erica, we hear this time and time and time. But what we don't hear is that very few people tell these ladies, in the arising, we go through some stuff. And if we don't have a maintenance plan during our challenges, we're prone to fail, prone to fall and pull out of the race. So if you are any of these categories listening today, Gospel for Grampian, you have failed, you have fell, you have pulled out of your place of purpose. Listen in. We're going to help you how to soar in any weather condition you might be facing in life. God designed us to stay on top not below. How does Esther remain on top when more Agagites pitch up later in life? Shanaz, how does Hannah persevere when the waiting seems endless, Erica? And still she stays at the best place of her purpose. She's in the tabernacle praying and worshiping the Lord. How does Mary continue pouring perfume to those God directs her to serve while everybody mocks at her and looks lowly on her? How do these women sustain their place of purpose? How do we do it? Shanaz and Erica, a question to you. Do we women need a maintenance plan as women to help us soar above the skies during our poor conditions so that we don't lose sight of our purpose?
I think we definitely do need a maintenance plan. And I think the maintenance plan for me personally is my relationship with Abba Father and His Word as well. Having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, knowing that He's a person and He's the one that reveals the Word of God to me. And the Word of God brings peace to my mind. This maintenance plan is what sustains me, because we know that Jesus is the bread of life. And so when I'm feeding off the Word of God and in relationship with Abba Father, this bread of life sustains me, as John speaks about. Whoever eats of the bread of life will never thirst nor hunger again. So this is my personal maintenance plan, Angelina. Thank you.
Thank you, Shanaz. Erica?
Yes, my personal maintenance plan is just the truth of God's intentionality with me and with all the ladies. His intention and His desire is for His daughters to arise. And what He does, He is inviting all the women to arise. And as you said, God has no partiality, for He has created all women in His image, and He sees each and everyone beautiful and exceptional. It is just so powerful to have listened to all the ladies that you've mentioned, and there is just nothing that can withhold us or limit us to come close to God, and that He's always got an open hand to receive us. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. And I remind you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, our speakers today are the Hannahs, are the Marys, are the Esthers, are the Deborahs. They have a voice in the workplace. They have a voice in the community. They have a purpose in their homes. They are powerful women who understands what it is to be a Hannah and wait on the Lord for that dream to come to pass. They know the waiting seasons. So these women that we have on air today are women of experience that understand what it is to soar in bad weather conditions. Gospel for Grampian listeners, if you had to go through our episode 60 to 63, we spoke about personal peace, self-love, others focused, and discerning the seasons and times so that we don't misappropriate our wants and needs. Now, a question for our panel discussion. Everything we have, Shanaz and Erica, belongs to God. Wrongful use of wants and needs is misappropriation. Do you agree?
Beautiful Angelina, yes, I do agree, because everything comes from Abba Father, and we are supposed to be responsible stewards because we are His workmanship. He rightfully created us. As beautiful Erica said, we are created in the image of Abba Father, and so we need to be good stewards with the talents and gifts, everything that Abba Father has bestowed unto us. Thank you, Angelina.
Erica, a question for you. What happens if we wrongfully use the desires and needs that we ask the Lord for? We call it misappropriation.
Yes, I would actually say that it is a very cautious road that one has to walk, because when we misappropriate that which God has given us, I believe that we can open up doors for the enemy, and then we can be distracted to the purpose that God has called us to. He says that we must arise. And I'm asking the question here. It's easy to say arise, but there are so many women that are at a place of pain, maybe. August is the month of women. And we had incredible and life-giving discussions on Gospel for Grampian Radio. But tonight, we just want to highlight and we want to bring the ultimate Father's call, where he says, women, arise. So we must be very cautious in our walk with God, in that our ears are very close to him, and that our intimate relationship stays with him, and we are not being taken aback or put aside, that we can compromise. Thanks, Angelina.
Yes, Erica and Shanaz, you know, when we misappropriate the fulfillment that the Lord has given us in terms of the wants and needs, he's a loving dad and he wants to give us the desires of our heart. And he's also a father that cares about the entire world. So there's the father figure, but there's also the figure of lordship. And the lordship there is to protect us. And if we misappropriate our funds, we lose our light. We become those virgins that the lamps dry out. And when Jesus returns, we don't have any anointing. We speak to you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, today. We say, if you started walking in the light, our role is to get brighter and brighter and brighter as the world gets darker and darker and darker. And if we don't respect the gifts and talents and the anointing that the Spirit of God has chosen to give us, we will get darker and we will be very disappointed when we go to heaven one day and begin to unpack everything that the Lord wanted for us. But we were so focused on the now needs that we forgot to align ourselves to what God would have us have. And we then forget about eternity and live for the now and have much regrets. In episode 60, we spoke about I've Got Peace. Now, what captured my attention was Nelly's testimony around the peace of God. There was so much chaos all around her. She missed her flight twice. She paid three times to get over to Zimbabwe. Peace led her to a place of purpose. Yet in the natural, it looked impossible. It looked chaos. Some might have said it was the will of God for her not to go there, because all the odds were against her. She herself said, God, maybe you don't want me to go. That's why I'm losing money and things are not working out. Naturally, it said a big no. She went. And when she went, she realized it was a big yes. So my question to you, Shanaz and Erica, is peace meant to be outwardly in order for us to lead others? Meaning, do we have to experience the peace outwardly in order for us to say God is leading us? Or is the peace an inner peace only?
I definitely think it's both. There are times when the outward would seem that there's chaos, and therefore our internal peace keeps us constant because we are grounded within Abba Father. And I love the testimony that beautiful Nelly gave as well. She spoke about, even though things were chaotic on the outside, that she had an inner peace. The peace came from Abba Father, and we know that our faith caused this the faith that she had in Christ Jesus caused the peace for her to be able to speak to our circumstances. And so as women, God has given us the ability to use our faith and to speak to the circumstances. And our mind has to be guarded by God's word so that our inner peace is not troubled by what we are seeing with our natural eyes, because we are human beings. And so we observe what's happening on the outside, but we don't have to allow that to affect us internally, because we know that our minds have been renewed through the word of God, and therefore the peace of God causes our faith to arise when we see what the chaotic circumstances externally. That's my view. Thank you so much, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, Shanaz. And to you, Erica, you wrote the book Deborah Arise, and we know Deborah's story. She had to help wonderful Barak to go to war, so that was not peace. How did she embrace peace as a woman taking a lead in supporting Barak at war? Share with us some of your inspiration from your book around peace.
Thank you, Angelina. Thank you, Shanaz. The first thing that we know is that the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. And Jesus declared shalom, which encompasses our whole life, as we know. So now, The question is outside and inside. I ask, how do I get and live this peace? In Psalm 107, verse 20, the Lord says, He sent forth His word and healed them. So now, healing occurs through the integrating forces that restore, transform, sustain, and nurture the whole person, body, soul, and spirit, at each phase and in every dimension of life, and within relationships of the person to the creation, to other people, and to God. But we must be careful not to allow the effect of the storm outside, the busyness and what we experience, to affect our inside, the inner peace that we receive from God. The peace is so important, so that it actually flows from the inside out. And as we walk, people will be, they will be affected by our peace in the midst of turmoil that's going on in this world. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, wonderful Erica. And I believe, Shanaz, in order for us to overcome the physical challenges or the chaos in the natural, while we've got the inner peace, is to have the armor on. Do you want to just share with us putting on the armor? Because really, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers, and principalities and authorities of this dark world. Though we're in this world, we're not of this world. And Paul said, walk in the spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Having no peace in the flesh, we are going to automatically fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're going to go overwhelmed. We're going to have anxiety. We're going to make stupid decisions because we are walking in the flesh. Without the armor, we are open and prone to fail and fall apart. Encourage us how to embrace peace as women of influence, as leaders in every sphere. We are always the first one to be attacked, because I'm sure you both can agree with me, right? As we women arise, the enemy will always try to knock the leader out first, because he knows that everything rises and falls on leadership. If he's got the leadership, he's got the entire team, he's got the entire country, he's got the entire nation. So as a leader, woman, we need to put on our armor. Help us, Shanaz.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. Definitely, this is something that we as believers should do constantly, every day. Before we do anything, we have to dress ourselves. Before we dress ourselves on the outward, we have to dress ourselves spiritually. And Ephesians chapter 6 explains that so well to us in terms of taking up the full armor of God. We are guarded with a belt of truth. So in other words, the truth, which is the word of God. So our foundation is set on God's word. God's word is the truth. And if we do not have this belt guarding our waist, we will be lopsided. We will not be able to stand firm in our faith, because there's no truth embedded within our spirit man. And then we also know that whilst we are guarded with this belt of truth, we also have the breast shield, which guards those very important parts of a physical being, but this is actually our spirit man that is being guarded here. And so we know that having the breastplate of righteousness, meaning that we understand that through our relationship with Abba Father, He has brought us into right standing with Him. And then our feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Without the gospel, we will not have peace. It's through the gospel, which is again the word of God. It's the word of God is being referenced so many times just in this few scriptures here, that the word of God actually brings peace. And wherever we go, we will carry forth peace as well. We have the shield of faith, and that shield of faith is speaking to us, guarding our peace, guarding the word of God that's been given to us, so that the enemy will not steal, kill, and destroy from us. And we know that we also have those fiery darts that will come, and the shield of faith will quench those fiery darts that the enemy is shooting at us. Then further, it says, take on the helmet of salvation. And the helmet of salvation, we know, is guarding our mind. The Word of God teaches us that we have to renew our minds with the Word of God, because we know the enemy will always come and bring the historical stuff, old behaviors that we've had that hasn't been consistent with how Abba Father wants us to love, and the enemy wants to use those triggers to bring back into memory, and therefore we have to guard our minds. We also have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's that reference again, ladies. We cannot do without God's Word. The sword of the Spirit, meaning rightfully, that Word is given so that we can destroy what the enemy is doing, not only in our lives, but as an intercessor like our beautiful Erica, the Word is given so that we can speak to those fiery darts and also to cut off those words that is spoken against our lives. And even our family, your friends, your church, for your community, for your country, you have the ability to take up the sword of the Spirit, but rightfully, it also cuts back at us, and so that word will also sharpen us as well. But what the full armor does, yes, it guards us, but without prayer, without supplication unto the Holy Spirit, we will not be successful. So it's key for us to have a relationship and know God's word so that we can rightly divide the truth. As women, we want to arise, and we can only arise in God's word. And when we are able to stand firmly upon God's word, we can help others arise as well. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, Shanaz. Erica, now that I have my armor on, what does Deborah say I should do? Talk to us.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. May I just mention that the title of this book was also given by the Lord, and it is, Deborah, You Are Chosen to Arise.
Wow.
So as we know, Deborah always sat at the feet of the Lord to get instructions from him, to get the plans of the Father, how to judge his people. She was an intercessor, and she was truly one that was close to the Lord. And I just want to say that with this book, God wants each and everyone to sit close with him, to listen to his heart as he pours out his love onto you, the reader of this book. And I just want to share that in the book, I share also the love seat of blessings. And here our Heavenly Daddy declares his love for his daughters and his longing for his daughters. So I believe that the armor of God is being protected by sitting at the feet of the Father, where he is showering you with his love. I believe that his love has got such power that when you sit with your armor, it is as if it's like a shield all over. And it is there in his unconditional love that we are established in his peace, that his love that is coming into us then flows out of us supernaturally and without any effort from our side. As long as we abide in Christ and allow his word to abide in us, we will walk with an understanding of his love for us. I think it encompasses so much the armor of God that it bring strength into us, that we can be able to stand because we know our God loves us, and that we can walk in that authority that he has given us in every part of that armor, and never to forget that we should pray for one another. For as we take part of what this armor is, we will always stand in victory.
I love what you're saying, Erica, because that brings us back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall live and not perish. It was love that gave us victory. And that's exactly what you are saying now, that in the armor, it is encompassed with the love of God. And it is in that love that we have victory in every area. I love it. I love it. My next question was around love. We touched on episode 61, love, 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 and what's love got to do with it? And the focus has always been about one's love, but what we heard over this month of August was that it is a love language between me and God, between Shanaz and God, between Erica and God, that gives us our stability and fulfills every area of our lives. And when we become encompassed by the love of God, then like Erica says, everything else becomes easy. The question to you, Shanaz, do people find learning to love God easy?
Wow, what a question, beautiful Angelina. I think it can be complex for some individuals because many of us would want to love God from their own perspective. So some have perhaps been brought up in an area or a home or an environment where they haven't been taught what love is. So it depends on the person's perspective, but you know, when the Holy Spirit encounters an individual, they will automatically be able to feel that love, that embrace of God. And it's through the Holy Spirit that one can then reciprocate and also express the love of God. So I believe it's possible in the Lord. On your own, you can't do it. I think if you haven't been taught how to love, it's going to be very difficult for you to do so naturally on your own. Because the Word of God says, 1 John 4 verses 8, it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So when you get into a relationship with Abba Father, he is love. And then you know love. Then you'll be able to love. But whilst you still away from Abba Father and not yet walking in a relationship, you will not be able to love. You won't be able to understand and comprehend this love of Abba Father. It, therefore, the Word of God says that he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It is in knowing God that you are able to love. And when you embrace Abba Father, when he comes knocking on your door, then only are you able to truly experience a love that no man can explain to you. His love is so beautiful. You feel so complete when you walk into relationship with Abba Father. You will be ignited by his love because God is love. And we know that Jesus was the epitome of God's love for us as human beings, because Abba Father demonstrated that when he gave up his son on the cross. And when we realize and come to accept this is the plan that Jesus has for us, will we be able to appreciate the love of God and be in fellowship with this amazing, beautiful Abba Father that loves all mankind. And he doesn't discriminate against anyone. God loves all of us because we are his creation. And it's through love that we can arise and help others to arise.
We're getting it, Gospel for Grampian listeners. The secret to a happy love life is not you and another person. It is you and Abba Father. For us, Erica, you know, I love what Shanaz said, that we have the Spirit of God and he teaches us and he leads us how to experience the love of the Father. But we've noticed you literally have a born-again Christian person that loves the Lord, prays daily, but because of these little areas of doubt and fear and anxiety, they actually don't experience the love of God, because if you have the love of God, you have got no fear.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. And I just want to say amen to everything that Shanaz has said. You know, your question is, and I come back to our first one, is peace. I believe truly that if we have peace in our hearts, then we will come to that point where love made our Lord to obey until death. He also asked, Father, if this cup could pass me by. But he obeyed him until death. And what really touched my heart when the Lord revealed this to me, that Jesus Christ never had a place to rest his head. He said that to his disciples. But when he hung on that cross, for the first time, he rested his head and he said, "It is finished." His rest is paying the price for us. And that is the love that is unconditional. And if I have a true revelation of what happened on the cross, that love just flows into me. It really immerses me into that love, and I am able to love. But I know that to come to that point, I have to have peace in my heart, because when there's unrest in my heart, I will also not listen. I will not be able to read. Everything comes back to the Word of God. And by reading the Word, by studying His Word, or by just sitting and allowing Him to minister to me, His peace that He wrought on the cross comes and fills me. And I can just experience how His love is being poured out onto me. His love is being shed abroad in my heart by His Holy Spirit.
I know in my own life that it's difficult for me to hear God if I don't have peace. And if I can understand the magnitude of what was done on that cross, God took the worst sinner's price on that cross. And if I began to look on the cross, that means nobody can move me, because He took the worst sinner, the worst pain any human being, the worst oppression any human being could experience. God took it on the cross. Therefore, I have no right to judge anybody that oppresses me, because God loves them too. I love what Shanaz said. God loves everybody, the worst sinner too. And until we get to the point of seeing what happened on the cross, we recognize that we ought to be selfless, because that's what Jesus did. He was selfless to the point of death, that He was able to say, "Father, forgive those that persecuted me and put me up here." And if we get to that point of understanding the magnitude on the cross, I believe that we will always have peace, because there is no greater love than the love that was on that cross for us. And when we can acknowledge and appreciate what Jesus did, no amount of pain or oppression or affliction can make us become depressed or fearful or worried, because Jesus was there too, and He experienced worse than us. So I believe for our Gospel for Grampian listeners, if you are going through a problem where you think nobody understands, nobody can relate, it's like the worst of its kind, we want to remind you today that Jesus took every human sin on that cross, the worst sinner's pain, the worst sinner's sin, He took it on that cross. He took every human oppression and affliction on that cross. And yet He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If we can start with that, then that peace will make us realize that God understands. Jesus has been there. And therefore, we will go to Him to comfort us. "Come ye all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," because He can relate and He understands. Because I don't know about you, Shanaz, when we go through persecution, the first thing that goes on and through our mind, nobody understands, because they've not been there. But the minute you know somebody's been there and they share their story, it makes you feel a bit better, right?
Definitely, Angelina. And I think even Jesus encourages us. He said, "I leave you peace. Take heart, because you will face tribulation." And so He understood, Jesus understood, that we will experience trials and tribulations. But He says, take courage, because He's overcome it already. And so that excites me, beautiful ladies, because I have a friend that sticketh closer than any other brother. And He is Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that He left the Comforter. He is our true friend. And I can take courage and hope, because Jesus said, "Take courage, He's already overcoming." So in other words, I am already able to live in a place of victory. So I should live victoriously. And I shouldn't allow what I see in the natural to affect my peace. This is where, because I understand that Jesus has gone through those trials and tribulations, that I can take courage, because he says he's overcoming. So hallelujah.
Yep.
I can walk in victory knowing that Jesus has already overcome it, and therefore I am victorious. And so irrespective of what I'm seeing, I can say, Abba Father, please take care of this. This is where Ephesians speaks about, that through prayer and supplication in the Spirit, we just submit it unto Abba Father. We guard our minds with the Word of God. We constantly having that positive self-talk. We're loving ourselves because Jesus demonstrated that love, as Romans 5 verse 8 says, that whilst we were sinners, Christ died for us. And therefore, I need not be helpless and hopeless, because Abba Father has already accomplished, he's already done it, he has the victory, and therefore I'm victorious because I am in him. Just as he prayed for the disciples, Jesus prayed for the disciples in John 17:17, and he says, Lord, make them one as you and I are one. And that is what we should strive for, to be one with Abba Father through his word, through relationship. And therefore, when we face these trials and tribulations, we can remain encouraged because we are blessed and highly favored. Thank you so much.
I love what you're saying, Shanaz. And for our listeners, ladies, if you want to find a go-to friend that can relate, just go to Jesus. That is what Shanaz and Erica and I are saying. He's been there. He understands every single pain you're going through. And he is the best person, because when you go to him, he gives you rest. If you go to your girlfriend, she's going to hear you and she's going to tell you how she overcame, which there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus literally gives you rest, and you will have peace in time of need. The next session we spoke about as we were unpacking Women's Month was, we rise by lifting others. Now, Shanaz and Erica, this is a topic that many people brag about. We must rise by lifting others, but not everybody wants to listen to what they're actually saying. The race for success has become all about self, me, myself, and I. All empowerment platforms are saying, lift and ship, make room for the others, women to succeed. Let's rise and lift others up. But we don't actually see anyone doing anything about it, or very few people are doing anything about it. And I'm thinking about what the Bible says, ladies. The Bible says, or the Bible teaches us, to be humble, which requires serving others. Do unto others as you want them to do to you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Sow and you shall reap. These are all the biblical principles of lifting others, because all these principles are others focused. What are some of the inner female challenges that restrains us from uplifting others? Because we're saying it, but we're not doing anything about it. I want to bring us back to that female rivalry behavior that women apply subconsciously. It is called the power dead even principle, that Pat Haim in his book Winning at the Game of Business, and he says women win at the game of business through the power dead even rule. Apparently this rule governs relationships, power, and self-esteem between women. For a healthy relationship to be possible between women, the self-esteem and the power of one must be, in the eyes of each woman, similar in weight to the self-esteem and power of the other. If these key elements are kept dead even, they are happy. But when the power balance gets disrupted, such as one woman arising and the other woman not, women may talk behind her back, ostracize her from the group, or belittle her. Now, these behaviors apparently are to preserve the dead even power relationship that women have grown up with their entire lives. He says it's a subconscious process, but it's a big reason why women don't support each other. This is an important thing we're talking about, because today we are saying women arise. Deborah, choose to arise. How do we choose to arise when subconsciously we have a poor competitive behavior? My question to you, Shanaz, how can we get over the subconscious poor competitive behavior and have the selfless nature of esteeming others more highly than ourselves?
I think for me, again, we need to reference God's word. What does God God's word tells us in Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So there is not only in serving, but also refreshing others. In other words, when we see others are prospering because of our deeds, that we will be refreshed. So Abba Father's word is teaching us that we do not have to follow the world system because he gives us wisdom. According to Proverbs 2 verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk uprightly. There is wisdom that we can obtain from Abba Father, because the Lord is the one that bestows wisdom. Yes, we can read books, and we can intellectually get ourselves to be stimulated to understand and bring forth knowledge, but wisdom is gained from Abba Father. And so when we get this wisdom from Abba Father, not to follow the worldly system in tramping others down, we don't have to step on others to succeed, because it is in our giving that we will prosper. And it is when we refresh others that we will be refreshed. And so this perspective we have to adopt. It's not a world's perspective that we need to adopt as women, because Abba Father does it in reverse. We have to serve and we have to love. And it's in doing that that pleases God, because when we do it unto Abba Father, he receives it as we honor him, and therefore we will be blessed. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Gospel for Grampian listeners, Shanaz is saying, our role as women who arise is to humbly serve one another, and that is what Jesus did. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty God, humbly served one another, and that is exactly how he got exalted. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us. I love that we serve, and God does the raising. Beautiful Erica, Deborah amplified people by righteously judging them. Talk to us. How would you encourage us to amplify one another to get rid of this terrible, subconscious, poor, competitive behavior where women are pulling each other down, and it is an embarrassment for our male counterparts to see us say we want rights, but we can't even lift one another up? Talk to us, Erica.
Thank you, lovely Angelina. I want to share something, first of all, to explain what I'm going to say. When I was 5 years old, something happened to me and shame took hold of me. It made me so conscious of myself that I wanted to please everyone. And in fact, you lose your identity and become someone God never meant for you to be. Until God put me in a vision one night while I was in my prayer room. I was actually in an elevator with many people, and I felt almost claustrophobic and was pushed upwards over the people, where I could look over their heads, and suddenly the elevator doors opened and I fell out. Immediately I sensed freedom. So the Lord reminded me of what happened, and he touched me and set me free from shame. I believe so many women have subconsciously shame hidden inside of them. And as I said, I wanted to please people. Now, pleasing people is not a God thing, because you will do things that God does want you to do. Therefore, I believe God has placed women together to support one another. What touched me in the previous session is when Myrtle said that God's wisdom versus worldly wisdom is a walk of faith. To me, it was so profound. Just think about it. Just think about it. Worldly wisdom you can actually see sometimes and touch, but God's wisdom is complete trust in him and walk, as it were, on water. And here we come back again to God's word, his rhema word for you. 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 to 16, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. It actually says that we should be an example or a pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. It actually goes to instruct us to devote ourselves in reading the Word of God. And when we do that, I believe that we can be an example to others, to other women that have issues, various issues in their lives, like shame, or maybe bitterness or rejection. And as we move amongst them and we bring to them in our daily walk, speaking, and our attitudes, because of the love of Christ, it will rub off on them. I know it's not an overnight situation that can be healed, but you know what? So many that I've experienced, by just being Christ to others, they then would come and say, "You are different." And then they would say, "What can I do?" Even without me even asking, you know, or saying to them, "Is there a problem?" Then they would come, because I believe to act like Christ draws people. And when you draw people, a change can happen, because it's all about Christ's love for us and receiving that, and is that, and that we are willing to share it with others. Because what I'm saying is that women should exhort one another, lift one another up, and we will then experience rising up in ourselves. And as you said, Angelina, what is a very important aspect in our lives is that to have a humble spirit. To be humble allows us to help and support each other. Thank you, Angelina.
You know what I'm thinking about, Erica, about Deborah, and having that humble spirit, they saved Israel. If she was arrogant, this would have not happened. When she went to war, Eric said to her, "No, you need to come with." What did she say to him? "Israel will win in the hands of a woman." She was not the woman that was going to bring the victory. It was going to be another woman. But she amplified women. Hey? She amplified women. And in the hands of another woman, they won the victory. That is what happens when we come together and work as a team. Imagine if Deborah was envious. The lady would not have hit the tent peg on the king, and he would have not died. And they wouldn't have had victory. Gospel for Grampian listeners, we need each other. And if God calls you to take lead in something, when you say, when God gives you a revelation that another woman is going to bring us to victory, don't be shy to amplify it. Because you are calling the entire nation to be saved in the hands of a woman. If you are selfish and you refrain yourself, that woman might not have heard God. She needed a Deborah to speak a word. Sometimes we need another woman to speak a word over our lives, so that when the victory is coming, we know we have been called forth because another woman lifted us up. Many women don't speak up for other women, and therefore we don't have many nation victories. What are your thoughts on that, Shanaz?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I love what beautiful Erica said. Sometimes it's also because of our own insecurities. And Psalm 103 verses 14 says, "For he knows our frame." You know, our Father knows our frame. So when the beautiful Erica spoke about that, it's so powerful that, you know, we think we can hide behind either being overambitious or wanting to tramp the next person down, or because we have these hidden insecurities. But our Father knows our frame. And so when we are not obedient to our Father, we cannot cause others to arise. I love what you said now, Angelina, that if you are not obedient, the next woman potentially will not be able to walk in what she needs to do because of our disobedience. So if we are not willing to hear from our Father and to walk in faith and in peace and in love towards the next woman, that they cannot arise because our own selfish ambitions or insecurities is keeping us from becoming exactly who Christ created us to be, that woman that loves, that elevates the next person, that serves like Abigail. The other woman had to drive that pig into that man's temple, and it was all because of Abigail's obedience. Sorry, Deborah.
Yep.
Thank you, Angelina.
Yep, I love it. I love where this conversation is going. And as we come to the last part of our conversation, we are opening this platform to beautiful Erica as we enter into our end of our Women Arise season in the Women Month. Erica, share with us some nuggets in your book to draw women into their place of purpose through your inspiration that the Lord inspired you in. Deborah, you got to choose to arise.
Thank you, my precious Angelina. I want to say, let us arise to the potential God has placed in us. And I believe, as God promises in Joel 2, that his people will never be put to shame. So, in this book, God has spoken so many of his words. And as Deborah was sitting with him to receive from him instruction and guidance of how she should treat the people, and I believe also that when she empowered Jael, when she said that another woman, you know, would win the victory, she empowered Jael to do that. As we sit and listen to God's word, really just listen to him, because he empowers us as Deborahs, and then we go out to empower other women. And that is as we arise as his chosen daughters to bring him glory and praise. It is also always, the finality is always to bring him glory and praise. So let him be your spiritual need. Then your identity in Christ is being established for you as a woman to arise. Thank you, precious Angelina.
Erica, where can the ladies get this book, and how is it going to change their lives in terms of rising up above their circumstances so that they don't fall and regress?
Okay, thank you. For the moment, the book is with me. They can contact me, and then we can make an arrangement. And this book is truly a book where God wants each and every reader to sit. It's not a book that is a teaching or a life story. It's truly a book where God has spoken over many, many years, and it is all compiled in one, in this book. But what he wants is, he wants to heal people. He said to me that every word that the reader would read contains all the pain already in those words. But as the reader reads it, the eyes fall on the words, healing then happens. And then they can arise to the potential that he has called them to be. But it is a book that you should nurture. You should sit in a quiet place and allow Holy Spirit to speak to you, and you will experience total deliverance, as when I fell out of that elevator in my vision. I truly sensed God delivered me. It is such an incredible journey that people can go on while reading this book. It is truly where God shows in visions and in dreams the interpretation thereof. And it just highlights Deborah's potential and her personality. And she was a strong woman, and yet she was also a mother. She was a mother to the nation of Israel. And as we rise up as Deborahs, we become mothers to the next lady, the next woman that crosses our path. And then she grows up and she becomes a mother, and she's then a mother to the next generation. And so I believe this is how God wants his women to rise up, to become mothers, and to teach others to become mothers. And it's like a ripple effect. And the power of God in that is so powerful, it runs forward and nothing can stop it. Thank you, precious Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. So for our Gospel for Grampian listeners, we encourage you, we are going to have Erica's details on our website, on Work On Air website. Please tap into the details, contact Erica. I agree with what Erica is saying. We don't have enough matriarchs out there to be able to help us to rise up and to stand strong. As the world is getting darker, we need to have the Deborah spirit to be able to stand up and stand for justice and stand for the word of God, which is truth. We are getting messages coming throughout the world that the world's getting darker and they want to remove the gospel and remove Christianity out of countries, out of homes, out of schools, and without the word of God, we will perish. The word of God says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we need the word of God. We need to be able to pray. We need to be able to come together as women of God. And so we need to have the Deborah spirit. So I encourage you listeners, please go onto a Work On Air on Gospel for Grampian website and go and search out Erica's details. Get the book so you can have a matriarch right in your own personal space by reading the book and learning to grow up and rise up and be all the woman that you need. Thank you, beautiful Erica, in your prophetic intercessory gifting. Minister to the radio listeners right now.
The Lord says to you tonight, this is not the time to back off. This is the time to choose the path I have chosen for you. This is the time to be mindful of the calling and the election that I have given to you. I have written in your book many, many years before you were even born. I have established a covenant with you, and I am walking in you and through you, and this is the day that you will shine for me, says the Lord. And the Lord says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God, like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. Bless you, Angelina. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Gospel for Grampian listeners, we've come to the end of Women's Month in South Africa. We encourage you as our air crew, women, arise and shine, for the light has come. Happy Women's Month from South African women on behalf of Work On Air. Bye-bye.